Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ziprecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
Welcome to the Point Forward Podcast with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinels, J.R. Radcliffe and Jim Ozarski, an over-caffeinated Milwaukee Bucks conversation.
He is Jim Ozarski, Milwaukee Bucks beat reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We are recording this a day after Giannis Adetokounmpo dropped 59 points in overtime as the Milwaukee Bucks survived the Detroit Pistons. They are 4-8. They've won 2 in a row for the first time this year. Is a corner turned? No, probably not. But things are looking up, and Giannis, just an unbelievable singular performance on Wednesday night at Pfizer Forum with Damian Lillard sidelined, with Chris Middleton sidelined, with Bobby Portis sidelined, and he put the team on his back, and it was tremendous. Jim, our brand, my brand, is to be a little bummed out about this Bucks team and see the dark side. Could I go down the path of it required a 19-year-old missing 2 free throws with 1 second left to even get to overtime? The Bucks probably should have lost that game, et cetera, et cetera. They're still not playing great. All their wins are against bad teams. I could do that. I could do that, but this, Jim, is a celebration of Giannis Antetokounmpo, 59 points. I think some of the buzz around that was that maybe it was one of his best performances. I mean, obviously the, you know, game 6, 50 points final, that's untouchable. But as regular season games go, this was way, way up there. He did some things that seriously have never been done before in the NBA and willed a team to victory. Set the scene for me, the aftermath of, you know, chatting with Giannis after this game, and how you felt about this performance in some sort of historical context, if there is any.
I mean, yeah, there's historical context, JR. I mean, second highest point total he's ever reached, of course, 64, the franchise record last December against the Pacers.
But this would have been a franchise record if not for that game.
Right. And obviously that game added some extra cricket. I guess Giannis can't score huge, you know, have great games without some sort of extracurricular involved at this point. But, you know, I think the overall stat line, JR, of the 10-plus rebounds, 7 or more assists, 3 blocks, 2 steals, like that, the whole stat line plus the 50 points, never been done in NBA history. So that in and of itself, to show that sort of complete effort Giannis put together from start to finish. And then, you know, 22 points in the first quarter, JR, I think it's a franchise record for in a first quarter. Yes. You know, and what's remarkable about that is literally no one else on the team made a shot until like 10 minutes to go in the second quarter. The team, the whole rest of the team was 0-15. And yet the Bucks were still just down a couple points. When Pat Connaughton had a bailout, shot clock beating 3 to pull him within 3. So Giannis kept this team in it until everyone else kind of showed up. And they did in the second half. Brooke Lopez was phenomenal. Gary Trent Jr. shows up and finally makes baskets. Andre Jackson Jr. plays good defense without fouling out and then scores some points when it was needed. And then, of course, Giannis in overtime outscores Detroit by himself and hits a pull-up 3. Why not, JR? You know, 10 mid-range jumpers, 16 to 17 from the free throw line. It was an all-around great effort. And I think, you know, I've seen some of the 50-point games, JR, almost all of them now at this point since I've joined the beat, in 2020. I think I just missed the Utah one in 19. Those games were special to watch because it's 50 is still a hard marker to get to, despite this league's reliance on three pointers. This one just felt like an overall dominance performance. Get on my back and will a team to victory. Yes, it was regular season and Detroit and all that stuff, but you know, you got to appreciate for what it is. And it was pretty special.
I mean, you kind of mentioned it in those numbers. 10 pull-up jumpers. When's the last time Giannis had 10 pull-up jumpers? Missing one free throw is extremely rare. Again, you go back to that finals game. That's the last, I mean, it's not the last time he's had a good day at the free throw line, but like that's what made that performance special. He did this in uncharacteristic ways. He found ways to contribute with his team just struggling. He found ways to contribute that weren't just, you know, give the ball to me downhill and I'm just going to run it down your throat and jam it down. I think that Detroit actually did a pretty good job defending that part of it. I think Giannis, even with 22 points in the first quarter, you could tell that Detroit had some things in place to keep him from constantly getting to the hoop. He just works so hard, Jim. And that doesn't really mean anything in terms of, you know, this external chatter about, well, is he always going to want to be a Buck? Is he going to leave the Bucks? But like he really does, the passion he plays with is, it's cliche to say, it's just really hard to match that. You know, I compare him. It's unfair to compare him to a guy who's had as many injury problems as Joel Embiid. But like, Joel, you know, yeah, that's a guy who seems to complain a lot and can't really take criticism and ultimately isn't available the way that Giannis is available when other guys are not. And I guess I run out of ways to describe him, but it really is a reminder what a singular talent he is. There's just not many guys like this who has the skill set, but also that drive and desire to do the things that he's able to do, even when they're not his normal things. It's crazy, Jim.
Yeah, it was funny. Two guys I wanted to hear about last night were Taurean Prince and Gary Trent Jr., two new teammates, right? Because like you, Brooke Lopez sits up there and he's like, I'm running out of words, you know, to describe stuff like this. And Gary, just expletive, that blank is crazy. You know, and he said he was in Portland when Dame went off for 60. And he said Dame's shooting him text messages, you know, about this. And Taurean Prince has played with some really great players and seen some good stuff. And even he's like, hey, I'm, you know, didn't even know he was at that point until late in the game. He's almost got 60. And yeah, remains, JR, this a singularly dominant force in a way that, I mean, you brought up Embiid, again, not healthy enough, not often enough. I mean, I'd still venture to say Nikola Jokic is probably still the best, like, individual player in the game in terms of overall right now. But, you know, you mentioned the Detroit trying to stop him, being physical to the point of dirty, and yet you can't really. You know, I mean, 62% shooting. The Pacers game was 71%. I mean, the 54 against Indiana was 76%. I mean, the way he does things is just no one else can do that physically in this league. And it's, you know, the jumpers were interesting, the mid-range stuff. And I had kind of asked him, like, hey, he hit eight of his free throws in the first quarter, JR. Rare for him, of course. And I was like, hey, did that help you with these mid-range jump shots as the game went on? And he was like, you know, kind of like, hey, I mean, the ball goes in and you start feeling it. You're making these 15 footers, right? And then all of a sudden the other 15 footers, 12, 9, it seems okay. But yeah, it's pretty, you know, again, 59 points to go with 14 rebounds, 7 assists. It was a whole effort. And generally speaking, Jay, you kind of see that with him. Double doubles come with these games. This was the assists, not so much. I think one other game, the Washington game, Jerry had 7 assists.
Who's he
usually
supposed to
ask? When he's scoring like this, it's sort of a one-man band. But he even said this, that wasn't going to win them the game. And so he sort of changed his set. So he had 22 in the first quarter, 28 at halftime. 48, I think, towards the end of the game. And so it was getting everyone else involved, and that included all these other players that, look, the Bucks needed to win. These guys needed to see some success, and he helped facilitate that as well.
I think really my favorite moments, I'm not sure, somebody caught Cade Cunningham on the sideline saying what they believe was MFR is unstoppable. I don't know if I quite caught that, but you do get the sense sometimes teams are like, we're doing everything we can, including, I might add, just straight up grabbing his jersey and bringing him to the ground. Jim, I don't think we've heard the last of Isaiah Stewart this year. That might actually be something to be kind of concerned about. Like, guys, the only way to stop him is to maybe do some stuff that's a little what you'd call extracurricular. Like, that was kind of scary, and yet that's kind of the way that I think, you know, maybe enforcers are kind of the way to deal with Giannis if teams are running out of other options. I don't know.
Yeah, well, Isaiah Stewart's an interesting guy, JR. And what's, I mean, maybe this was good. It's not good that Bobby Portis was scratched late with an elbow injury that created some of this. Bobby
Portis would have been.
But it's a little behind the scenes for viewers. And so before the game, JR, I had a group chat, our internal chat with editors. And I said, you know, Isaiah Stewart's going to start some stuff with Giannis tonight. And if Bobby's on the floor, this could be a thing. And so Giovanni, our talented photographer, he was on that baseline, gave him the heads up. Hey, watch 28 and Giannis. And if Bobby's there, like, this could go. Because Bobby's going to be Bobby soon, JR. And I thought this would bring it out. And honestly, it would have. He wasn't there, though, so Isaiah Stewart pulls Giannis to the ground. Giovanni, go to jshotline.com. He was literally right there with some great, albeit kind of scary, concerning-looking photos, right? but, yeah, Stewart, Torian Prince had said Stewart was saying he wanted to follow him hard, but didn't mean to do it that way. And I guess, I don't know what the line is there. Like, what'd you think was going to happen when you pull someone's jersey when they're going in the air? Teams try to do this to Giannis, though, JR. Let's be real. Like, they think they can get under his skin. Maybe this just goes back to the bubble with Mo Wagner and he got the headbutt. Giannis doesn't really get ejected and do stuff like this anymore. I remember Bucks fans, you know, FMD, like Mike Dunleavy getting sent to the
legendary moment,
the rafters, you know what I mean? So I, you know, it's sort of a thing that the teams try to do to him. Stewart in particular is a instigator. So I guess we'll see. I don't know when, I forget when they play Detroit next, but it's in there. And Jalen Duren, actually, you know, he's not shy about this stuff either. He threw some elbows in that preseason game, actually, that sent Derry Trent Jr. Down. I think sent DeLon Wright to the court. So I think Duren also pushed Gary Trent from the back during the game as well. So, yeah, teams keep trying this with Giannis, and yet, as he told our Laurie Nickel after the game, he just tries not to think about it, you know, and just knows, hey, I got to make my free throws and kind of go from there.
December 3rd, the final group stage game of the NBA Cup is when these two teams rematch.
Oh, so much is going to be on the line for that.
Bucks are 1-0 in the NBA Cup.
That's high intensity.
Bucks are 1-0. They want that. They want to go to Vegas. Let's see this team go to Vegas. Bucks play again on Saturday on the road against the Charlotte Hornets. They return home Monday against the Rockets. The greater context, I sort of alluded to it at the beginning. You know, this is a celebration of Giannis and maybe a celebration of Brook Lopez, who also stepped up in a big way in this game. But the Bucks still, again, their four wins have come against lesser opponents. Yes, they are 1-0 in the NBA Cup after beating the Raptors. But this is still a team that has a lot of problems, injuries chief among them. You know, we thought maybe Damian Lillard would be back for this game against the Pistons. He was not available. His status remains up in the air. Concussions are tricky. You never really know. Chris Middleton, I feel like we're in a holding pattern with him. It is not clear when he's going to be available. I am starting to really, really believe in the Christmas timeline, even though it's, you know, there's never been let's reevaluate in a couple weeks. It's always been maybe the next one, maybe the next one, maybe the next one. I mean, I don't think they would do that if legitimately wasn't going to be for another 6 weeks, but I don't know, man. And this team, I like to say they've turned a corner, I think is a stretch, but maybe I'm wrong. I mean, two in a row is two in a row. and they have some winnable games coming up. They've had this really tough schedule. So maybe, Jim, you feel like there's some progress, or is it just too impossible to really say because no one's on the floor?
It's progress because they actually won two games in a row.
Yeah.
Which was the first time they've done that. So on a very baseline, you know, level, it is progress. 4-8, two games out of the three seed, JR.
That's incredible. East is bad right now. We should point that out.
If there was one benefit to if there's a silver lining with all of this, it's that there's Cleveland and Boston. And look, you can now feel a certain way about those Cavs games. They have literally beaten everybody as we record this. So
very tense.
It's the fifth or sixth best start in the history of the NBA. And it took a Donovan Mitchell buzzer beater and a down to the wire game with no Giannis or Chris in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Recent history is putting the Bucks in a much better light in those two losses. Right.
And then you have the Celtics who are 10-3 who faced the Bucks twice. Yeah. As well.
And so, okay, look, they're not the one seed. Last podcast and PFP JR, we said this, the one and the two seeds are out, mm-hmm. right? Like that's done. That is what it is. But yeah, you look at the rest of the East. So yeah, Charlotte's come up. You mentioned it. They're technically ahead of the Bucks in the standings. If they can win that game after 2 days off and sort of maybe Dame is back after the concussion, maybe Bobby's back with this elbow bruise. If you can win three in a row and then you get a very good Houston team coming in and okay, maybe you lose that one because you're still down Chris or your Dame just returned, whatever the circumstance is, you're still like feeling okay. Like things are moving in the right direction. But Doc Rivers said after the game, he's like, I've been doing this too long. Feels good now. You lose Saturday. It's like, so it is about stacking it, JR, at this point. And, if they can get to three in a row and then actually beat Houston, they haven't beaten any very many good teams right now. That would be four straight. And that kind of win would really get them thinking they're sort of truly turned the corner. To me, I think that's how they would view it. There are silver linings. Things are better. Look, JR, okay, Giannis is great. No one made a shot. They were 0 for 15, and yet we're still in the game.
Two free throws from Brook Lopez. There were only 2 points from anyone other than Giannis.
Yeah, you could say, it's just the Pistons. No, I mean, the Bucks actually played good defense and rebounded and kept themselves in the game until the math turned in their favor. And that goes even with the Raptors, JR. Yes, they only scored 99 points. They held the Raptors to 80-something points. They held the Celtics to 40% shooting. Like, this is an offensive-based team. Their bad offense has made their defense shakier than it normally would be. And yet we've seen this team actually play connected defense, fix the transition issues. Brook Lopez and Giannis in particular these last two games has been more active around the rim. He's blocked more shots these last two games, JR, than I think he had in the previous six dating into last season. Not that block shots are everything, but Giannis clearly has been more active. And so those are all things you can build on. And to your point of progress, yes, there's been progress in the wins, losses. And then those little things like that they for sure are taking in is like, hey, we're better at this now than we were a week, 2 weeks ago.
Anytime you hold a team to under 90 points, as they did against the Toronto Raptors, that's incredible. That's a major NBA achievement. And yes, the team probably wasn't shooting well or is not maybe not that good, but that is still an achievement. Yeah. Real quickly, speaking of silver linings, I do feel like these injuries have allowed an opportunity to see some other players, specifically Ryan Rollins, who is a starting member of the Milwaukee Bucks now. He was not able to play in this game against Detroit because he suffered an injury after a really impressive performance against Toronto. So he is starting to look like somebody who could at least contribute you know, AJ Green has gotten on the floor. He did take a two-pointer against Detroit, sadly. His streak of 52 or 53 three-pointers without a two-point attempt is over. And, you know, Andre Jackson, whom you already mentioned, is coming through in a way that I'm not sure I would have even expected. So of those guys, do you think any of them have really bought themselves more playing? I mean, we talked about AJ Green's in the rotation for sure.
Yeah.
What about the other guys? Like, are they going above and beyond what you would have expected?
So I'll start with this. I had our friends over on the Bucks Discord message me, JR, right before this game saying, hey, Jim, at the start of the year, I asked you if the young guys play. You said, if that's the case, things have gone terribly wrong. What say you now? And I'm like, yeah, they're 2-8. Things have gone really wrong. And so that's part of this. Injuries and ineffectiveness of Gary Trent Jr. and DeLon Wright, your two of your three premier free agent signings, like, big picture, not great, right? Like, if they were 8-2, Andre Jackson Jr. and Ryan Rollins, and to a degree, AJ's minutes, like, they're not playing,
right?
And up until these last two games, these guys were playing, and the Bucks were not winning. So, not great. That said, I think Andre had – I mean, Andre showed last year, JR, he can defend at a high level physically. He was just fouling so much. At the start of the season, JR, I mean, he was one of the few guys in the league who was averaging 6.5 fouls per 36 minutes. That's not great. That has come down. He is now averaging only 5.3 fouls per 36 minutes. Some of that is he's learning. Some of that the refs are learning him. You know, he's someone who needs to score at times. He had a nice lay-in and a nice dunker from the a dunk from the dunker spot. That's progress. That's good. And so I think going forward, I could see Doc using him and AJ Green in sort of matchup-based situations. Where it's not you're being benched for a reason. It's more of, hey, we need AJ Green to come in because we could use some threes quickly. Andre Jackson Jr. is coming in because we need him to pick up this guy 94 feet. Like he said last night, they were in a zone except for Andre. Andre's going to be man up till half court, right, to sort of disrupt the offense. That's important, you know, to earn that trust from the head coach and Greg Buckner, the defensive coordinator, to be called upon. Ryan Rollins, you know, we'll see, he's a two-way player. He's only got at least unless he's converted to a full deal, JR, which would mean they have to then trade someone who's currently on a full deal. But Ryan Rollins, even if he only plays the 50 games on a two-way deal, to be a guy who is trusted to do that. Look, AJ Green started on a two-way deal. You know what I mean? And now he's ninth, 10th man. Right. That's not a bad thing either. It's just I still maintain, though, JR, if they're going to get where they need to get, Chris Middleton's got to be playing all the time. Gary Trent Jr. needs to be starting and playing 25, 26 minutes and making threes. And then, yeah, AJ and Andre Jackson, and then maybe a little bit of Ryan Rollins in there as sort of situational matchup breather type guys who you can trust to play those few minutes and either extend a lead, maintain a lead, or maybe come back from a slight deficit. That's really what the bench is for. And yeah, down the line, JR, we'll find out if this is really benefiting them in that way.
I wonder if when we look back at this game, we'll say, yes, Giannis had 59, but Gary Trent getting a little bit loosened up, getting some shots to fall. I wonder if that'll end up, this will be a pivot point for that, because in that sense, they have gotten better. Settling for fewer like low percentage shots over the last two games, that's gotten better, so... maybe this is the start of something. We will see. He is Jim Ozarski, Bucks reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. You can find everything he has at jsonline.com. My name is JR Radcliffe. Thanks for tuning into this edition of the Point Forward podcast. We keep blurring the lines here on this. I'm not sure our branding is great on this. The Point Forward something. we always now we've gone beyond our like small sample and not quite our full length pod, but this is what we got for you. So we'll be back again with you next week. Take care, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Point Forward podcast, a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and JSOnline.com production.